drinking the blowjob soup, you don't know that you gonna, your mouth gonna stop getting very hot.
So it's weird that he's. I don't think I ever really considered a drinking soup.
Yeah, well,
is it a cool soup?
I don't know. I'm not. It seems like more of a broth.
I'm scared to have it because I don't want to be just start sucking people off left and right.
I accidentally had some, and I must have blown six guys before I got home.
I left it in. I was home visiting my family, and I left it out. My mom and dad had some, and they both cheated on each other with other people.
I saw a similar situation with a friend of mine, and his mom started blowing him.
Bushman
couldn't get
him
off.
He better put a warning on the soup, a label, because he can get sued.
You mean when it hits the Whole Food markets?
Yeah.
I think it should be a warning label. May induce severe blowjobs.
He told me now that Whole Foods got bought out by Amazon, which is based in Seattle, Bushman's American's home.
And also he has a relation to the Amazon.
That's true as well. And Bush said he's working with Jeff Bezos personally.
It's true.
And so we'll see.
Oh, Bezos, yeah.
Of course I went to college with Bezos in
Me
Liberia.
And Coco Bean in Seattle.
You mean JB? Oh, yeah.
He said he went to the original Starbucks.
Of course he did.
And that's where Bezos used to hang out all the time.
I'm sure Bush and Bezos sounds like...
That should be a new buddy cop movie.
A real power team.
Billionaire Amazon founder. This guy beat Norm MacDonald on Star Search.
And it was
claims
to be an Olympian, but no one can prove whether that's true or not.
Can you imagine if he actually started selling that? What if he should do a movie called Blowjob Soup, where it's people are
pitching?
Accidentally, it gets into the water supply, and this whole town has this rabid blowjob epidemic.
And then they have to ban blowjobs, like in Footloose, and you have to go to the outside the town limits to get a blowjob.
No, I think women and men are sucking each other's dicks until they die. Like, you know,
women are wearing strap-ons because there's not enough dicks to go around.
I think dudes are wearing them because I think people are dying because they're sucking them after they come. They just keep sucking until you're dead.
It's almost like a zombie infestation.
Blowjob Soup the movie.
Well, I mean, to me, it's better than Bushman Goes to Space. Not much, but a little bit.
We have to write this down because I've got to pitch this to him next time he's on the show, because I think he's really going to...
A year or so from now?
Yeah, I think he's...
It's a little still too fresh.
I got to get my Lyft account unfrozen after his ride.
Get it off of that one-star review.
Yeah, I sent him an email, and I go, hey, it wasn't me, it was this guy, Bushman. Listen to the podcast, it'll explain it all.
Check out our Patreon if you haven't. It's the Danish and O'Neill program if you just stumbled across us on the podcast dial.
You're like, who are these guys, and what the hell's Blowjob Soup?
Yeah, so check out our Patreon. We're trying to get the numbers up there. The more, the merrier. We're trying to get to 1,000. I don't know what the numbers are now, but
1,000 by the end of the year. That's we got like 8 more months.
I heard Brendan Dassey say since he can't get to WrestleMania, all he wants is Danish and O'Neill's Patreon to get to 1,000 subscribers.
That's true.
So
yeah, they're almost there, Brandon.
How many are there?
I don't know. I don't look at it every day. I don't update it. 150, I think.
Our internet in here is really slow.
Well, then you don't deserve that, Brandon. Yeah, what do you think? They're going to give you high speed? You're in here for murder.
Quick, I think we'd be remiss. I don't want to, you know, obviously there's not a lot to say. But a quick shout out to Mitzi Shore and the Shore family. We didn't know her well. I think
I knew her well.
I mean, you had
interacted with this lady.
You had way more interactions with her than I did, because you worked the phones at the Comedy Store.
I mean, it's sad. It's very sad when anyone's... I have a... love-hate relationship, and I think many people did with her, but I respect and appreciate what she did.
And what she set up, for me, is her biggest, how she affected me, is just that providing the Comedy Store a place. And she got, to me, kind of, if you don't know, she passed away, kind of set the tone, of like, just kind of what a crazy, I think her vibe and her vision for the place was kind of this insane place that it came to be. Like on the lineups, she would often, if she found out a couple broke up, she would put the man and then the woman, or vice versa. Like
two
that
people
sort of,
had a beef, they would have to follow each other.
Yeah, she just like she instilled that sort of vibe, which trickled down, I think, not so much to this day, but
well, I think we're the last generation, and clearly this new generation, which I Gotta be honest with you, is probably the better way to do it. I gotta be honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's super supportive.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody seems to be fairly mentally healthy.
A lot of drinking problems there, though.
There always have
guys,
been.
Yeah. I think it's just I think it's people who do stand up. That's the problem there.
There's drinking problems in guys that I'm friends with that have nothing to do with the entertainment business.
That's true, too.
Bigger drinking problems, probably.
The last generation or class, kind of how it goes there, like high school classes. That really dealt with like a healthy Mitzi was like the one above us. So Steve Renazzisi, Ari Shaffir, Steve Simone, David Taylor. Even them, like, but like us, like by the time I came out to LA, she was not doing so well health wise.
Yeah, but
physically and mentally.
You say that, but she also lived another fucking 16 years. I say, I got here, I thought she had 6 months to live.
No, I was with you. And she, it shows the spirit she had, and also kind of, I guess, the mean side she had, but, is that just wasn't willing to go down.
You also have to give her, like, she was very tough on a lot of people, but I will say this, she came up in an industry completely dominated by men, and she fucking carved out a hell of a legacy for herself.
At a time, too, when just being a woman in any business wasn't like the easiest or the most common thing.
And especially Hollywood, where everybody, there are no guidelines. There's no like code of conduct anybody has to follow.
No. I just have a couple quicks. One, she once walked by me when I was working the door, and Tommy, her messenger, who she called, who loves saying how good looking she said she was, but she thought he was a woman a lot of the time and called him Cookie.
Didn't know his real name, just called him Cookie.
He came up to me, he's like, "Well, Mitzi wants to fire you because you have a beard, okay?" And I was like, "Wait, what?" I thought it was like, but you heard, we always heard like people were banned a lot for very.
Yeah. Jim Carrey had a great tweet because he's like, if Mitzi liked you.
Yeah, I saw that.
You were in. If Mitzi didn't, you had to do something else.
Yeah, it's like
which is because there were guys that she did. She hated Louis C.K.
hated Gary Shandling for a
hated,
while.
Hated
Sarah Silverman.
Seinfeld.
Yeah, never passed Seinfeld. Refused.
And still thinks he's not funny, which is crazy.
She had an odd thing where if she deemed you a writer, that was the end. It was like, you're a writer.
In that Gary Shandling documentary, he talks about that, where she said that you can't be both.
Yeah, you're a writer.
Which clearly Gary Shandling was a tremendous at fucking three things.
Yeah.
Writing, stand-up, and acting.
Yeah, and he was great.
Running a goddamn show.
And Tommy was like, "You're not fired, okay? But if she comes around, try to make yourself scarce."
What's great is if that happened today, you know what I mean? Do you know the lawsuits? Oh, it's like, fired? Are you kidding me?
You can't do that.
Yeah.
And then the other one was, her mental prowess was, towards the end, wasn't the best. Some dementia issues. And she walked by me, and she was really never there a lot. I would always have to leave a spot open in the lot in case she came in, which is horrifying. And it was a hard spot to leave open, and she usually never did come in. But if
new guys that work there don't even know.
Yeah.
That spot, if somebody pulled in. Oh. Also, you knew somebody didn't belong there if they pulled in a Mitzi spot.
Yeah.
Because even today, there's guys, like old school guys, that won't pull in a Mitzi spot.
Yeah, I was. It was terrifying because you couldn't leave a car there for a minute. Because if you came in, you were fucked.
Yeah.
But she walked by me, I never really spoke to her just because I was kind of was fearful of her, especially after she tried to fire me.
Yeah.
So she just said, "Have you seen Yakov?" And I was like, "No.
Yakov Smirnoff.
I have not seen Yakov."
Legendary Russian comedian.
Who I had never seen in my whole time there once.
I know.
Or heard of being there. And so she walked by, and in my head, I was like, "God, that's sad. This lady thinks Yakov's going to be around here." And like, I swear, like 2 minutes later, who rounds the corner? Yakov Smirnoff wearing like an 80s like shiny suit. Yeah. And he's just like, "Hey, is this in a minute?" And I was like, "Oh my God, that was real."
Which oddly enough, he's around now all the time.
No, I know, I know.
But no, but back then, that was a joke. He was like in Branson, Missouri.
Yeah. In Russia, Mitzi asks for you. In America, you ask for a Mitzi.
My first interaction ever with her, my first phone shift at the Comedy Store. The phones, you couldn't transfer them downstairs, so I had to stay till like 10 o'clock at night. I get a call from Mitzi Shore. Everyone's like, if you had, like, James Painter trained me on the phones, can you imagine?
And you heard us talk in the past, James Painter is one of the more insane of an insane group of people.
And he said that you have to answer the phone like this: world famous comedy store, or Mitzi will fire you. So I had to,
have caller ID now, so they can fuck around. Whereas, like, when you were there, there was no...
Dude, I had a TV that was hooked up to bunny ears. They have the internet.
You had like,
I had to watch Judge Wapner.
4x2 TV screen. Oh, it's
fucking...
It was like a Game Boy.
It only got two channels, and they weren't clear. But she called me, and this is my first interaction with her, and my first shift working there, and I've been in L.A. for, like, 8 months. And she said, oh, Dean just raped me and stole my clothes.
Which
and I was like,
could have been true.
What? And then Dean shows up
Dean
like
Gelber,
10 minutes later.
The manager.
Go, Dean, is there anything you want to tell me? He's like, what, bro?
Bro, what's going on, bro?
And then she called me to say that during the Hurricane Katrina that they were looting because it said L.A. It said New Orleans, L.A. on the TV screen. And she said, oh, they're coming for my stuff. Tell someone to get me out of here.
And that was years ago.
Yeah. And other times she would just fucking yell at me. And then when I would, and then she would come in a lot and I would have to see her and act like I was doing something, even though there was nothing to do but wait for the phone to call.
And but when we were there too, the business was not doing well at all.
No. Those old school lineups are hilarious. When I first got there and I went to call people, some of these people don't exist anymore.
Whoa.
Oh.
It's just
the speaker. Yeah well, true. Anyway, but rest in peace, Mitzi.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a run.
Hell of a run. Set up, obviously, a legacy that will go on with the Comedy Store. Business is booming there.
It's never. I think it might be bigger than it was back in the day.
It probably is with all the podcasts and, I mean, and the memorial. I think they're planning a memorial for her there, I'm sure.
When does that happen?
I haven't heard yet, but... we'll have to try to sneak in through the back door.
Sneak in?
No, I'm kidding. We'll be allowed in there. But
so
there she goes, Mitzi Shore. Oh, and yeah, one last also just remember having to showcase for her, just go up for her when we were employees, and she would just sit in the back of the room. She had a seat there too, and if anyone was sitting in it, they threw them the fuck out of
there. Dude,
nobody
sat in it.
No.
Like, the door guy was paranoid as fuck. If anybody even, like, looked at it, they'd be like, keep moving, dude.
And she would set candles up so you could see her in a dark room, eat popcorn.
Well, that's because she would write stuff down.
Yeah.
But she wanted to know, she wanted you to know she was writing while you were on stage to make you more nervous.
And comics would get nervous, and it would just the comics would be nervous, and then the audience would just... be so tight and so frozen.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Tom Segura showcase when we were just like hanging around there as open micers.
It was
go tough. Down the list. I remember James Painter at one of the best showcases because they would say like, don't do anything about like people being elderly. Like she doesn't like that. And he did like the filthiest shit about like old people. And just did like, she did like dirty material too early and he did all filth. And he gets off, and he's like, that was good, right?
He gave her the thumbs up. I saw it. He walked right by her, and he goes, yeah, right?
He strutted, and she said, turned to Cookie, old Tommy. He was seating the room, which you have to stand in the room. While I'm in here, he needs to stand on the other side of the curtain. And he had to somebody and then go out.
I heard Tommy tell him, he's like, what? What did I do?
I did great. James, you can't do that sort of stuff.
I don't want to look at your face.
She hates you, okay?
Oddly enough, I was there last night doing a spot, and I saw old Nick Diaz showed
really?
Up. Nate Diaz, I think, is bigger than Nick. Maybe walks bigger.
I think he's taller.
Nick was he was smaller than me all around, and I'm 5'9". I told him that. I said,
maybe,
how tall are you?
Maybe he has a back problem. He's lost some height like Hulk Hogan.
Could be. But by the way, I've never seen a guy that looked less unapproachable than this guy.
I could see a vibe of do not disturb me. Human do not disturb me sign.
Red Band was leading him around, and I saw him. And this guy, I've never seen a guy give out that a fucking... more leave me the fuck alone vibe than him.
I think it's part depression, part anxiety.
Yeah.
It's just part disinterest.
But it was funny because I was talking to somebody who walked past And she was talking about some dude who's stalking her, like, severely. She's a comic, severely stalking her. To, like, the point where I was like, you should give me your iPhone location device in case you fucking disappear.
Jesus.
And then she was talking about fighting, and then I literally just watched one of the greatest fighters in the world walk past.
Yeah, that is. It's the irony of it all. You wouldn't picture not knowing that guy that he would be interested in hanging around a comedy club, but
yeah,
you don't know what somebody's
he just
into.
Went out back to hang
partake.
Out. I think he's getting ready to fight, so I think he was just hanging out.
Oh, you're talking Nate.
I'm talking Nick.
Is he getting ready to fight?
Nick's coming off suspension in this month.
I don't know if he'll ever be back.
They claim that he's interested.
I don't know. I've heard.
I think he has to come back.
I've heard it all before.
I don't know what he's going to do. I think he's no money, so he probably has no choice.
It just
choice.
Seems like he hates it, though. He like openly talks about not wanting to do it.
Someone tells
knows?
Me being broke will make you do some strange things.
I mean, yeah.
Like, go back to your chosen profession.
We'll see. I don't know. But good segue there. We took the week off last week. If you didn't check your social media, you're not on there. The birth of my child, Barb Courtney Danis. Baby Barb has been born.
BB.
Baby Barb.
BBD.
Courtney was doing fine. She was, we were 40 weeks and 3 or 4 days, I forget now. She was over term.
At any point, were you like, just cook it for like another week or two?
She was ready to be done. Obviously, we tried salad that didn't work.
Yeah, the salads. Can you see the place for false advertising?
She was trying. I mean, they say like to walk a lot, to exercise a lot.
Yeah.
She was just like, I'm ready to be, I need this thing out.
I wonder if anyone's ever gone like an extra month and if the kid came out like a genius or something.
Yeah, I don't know. The lady who taught my birthing class said, like, back in the day, I think they would let you go up to, like, I want to say, like, 43, 44 weeks. Like, there really was no, like, we need, like, it
my
was
sister
just,
had, like, an extra week and a half on one.
Yeah. They say the first child, they say, usually goes the longest. I think it's just because, like, your body's not used to it.
Everybody's a little nervous.
So we had to go Friday because she was over term. We had to go into the hospital that we were. Was it Friday? Yeah, it was Friday. So we had to go in to have her. They had to do like what they call a stress test where they just kind of check.
Wasn't it Saturday?
No, we went in. We had to go
you
in
had to go
Friday.
In. Oh, okay.
And so for whatever reason, like this weirdo hospital. No one answered the phone. We couldn't get an appointment.
What the fuck?
And so our doctors were like,
was it Tijuana?
It's not great. I'm not going to say where it was, but this was pretty much the Hollywood YMCA of hospital facilities.
What was the person doing that was supposed to be answering the phone? Making out with her boyfriend?
I don't know. And then the doctors were trying to call, and they're like, she always answers the phone. This is crazy. So then like, you have to go into triage, which is basically like an ER. So we had to wait a legit 10 hours to get seen for an appointment. It was crazy.
Why don't you just go home and then wait?
Courtney was like, let's just go. But we didn't know. They're like, it's probably going to be an hour. It might be an hour and a half.
Wait, I love how they can't. Like, you, they know. I never understood what the fucking hang up is and the hold up. Like, you should know how many people are in there, about how long everybody spends. By the way, doctors spend zero time with you. So what's the fucking big deal?
So we have the test and like, everything pretty much is this, like, everything's fine. Everything's great. And we're like, thanks. Glad we waited 10 hours. So we go home.
10 hours.
Next day was this Saturday.
Do they give you like when you go to TGI Fridays, they give you the little
vibrating
pager.
I wish, because then you
like,
could at least
you can go walk around the neighborhood.
At least you
could
move
we'll
around.
Page,
we wanted to get something to eat because we were starved. We've been there 10 hours.
Yeah. That's.
We actually did end up going to something to get something. Like, don't worry, we'll hold your place. And then like.
Oh, you missed it?
Well, then like they're like, just check back in. We check back in. And then like a while later, they're like, oh, those are the people we went to eat. We're like, what the fuck kind of a shop, right?
Well, I don't think I would have left probably if I'd known that there's nobody answering the phone.
Well, then the nurse who said we could leave was like, they still haven't seen you. And then she just took it upon herself and was like, go in that room. I'm going to take care of this, and took care of us. But so Saturday we went for a walk at night, and Courtney was like, this baby feels lower than it's ever felt. Like, she's like, I haven't had to waddle. But
there's like a hand sticking out.
She was like, I almost feel like I need to like keep it in. The way she was, it wasn't that bad, but it was
can imagine it's like
just like I feel it like
a,
in my pelvis.
New pressure.
Yeah, and then she was like, I don't know. And then so then we got pizza, and we were watching the fights, the UFC on Fox, Dustin Poirier versus Justin Gaethje. It was a tremendous fight.
Good fight.
A lot of eye pokes by Gaethje, but Poirier...
he likes to stick his hand out there.
Poirier persevered for the victory. And then so Courtney's like, I think I'm having contractions. She's like, but they're not like terribly painful, so I don't know. But then was like, oh, well, yeah, that one was, I think, for real. And so we were like gearing up, like, all right, it looks like we're gonna have to go tonight. And then our birthing class lady was like, the movies are like, they're lies. Like, your water doesn't like really break. It just like, it's not much.
A trickle?
That's what she said.
A gentle drip?
So we were like,
And all of a sudden, it's a fucking, your whole floor is flooded?
Well, we weren't, fortunately, Courtney, like, I don't know if she just could sense it.
Was she wearing adult diapers?
No, but she went to the bathroom and called out to me. And
it
was like,
the toilet overflowed and he went
in. I wasn't in there, but she said it was just like
a
gushing river. I don't know if that's common or not. I don't want to embarrass. I mean, she gave me permission to talk about all this stuff.
Well, I mean, everybody's water breaks.
Yeah, no, but she said like, she's like, yeah, it was not a slow trickle. And so she calls out to me. She's like, my water broke. I'm like, all right, we got to get out of here. And she's like, this won't stop. And she was like freaking out.
So what,
like,
you had to put a beach towel in there?
We actually did take a towel in the car. She's like, I can't.
Well, you're like, I don't want to get my interior wet.
It was her car.
You're like, by the way.
I was like, I'm not driving.
This thing's trickling.
It's your car.
We're going in your car.
I made her drive. No, I drove. While we're driving.
Did you ride in the back?
No, while I was thinking about getting a lift and
put some towels down. We're going to set this towel down because she's leaking here.
And I asked her if I could drive in the breakdown lane. She said, no, it wasn't that desperate, but I kind of wanted to. But she started having like bad contractions on the drive there. Like, she was like kind of doubling over, which is obviously, if you've never done it, it's stressful to drive with someone who's in like great pain.
Yeah.
So we get to the hospital. It's after hours, and they told us on our tour of the hospital,
which is probably good.
They're like, if you get there after hours, the front entrance is closed. You have to go through the ER.
What is there? A speakeasy in the back?
I don't know.
Knock three times.
I don't.
Then pause the two more knocks, and then the password is
this hospital
gelato
has peculiar practices to say as you'll hear in a minute.
So the front is closed.
Which I've never heard of in a hospital in my life.
You gotta go around the back.
So you gotta go to the ER entrance.
You gotta call Tony, and he'll let you in the service entrance.
If you ever been to an ER, most of them are shitholes, even at nice hospitals. And let's just say this wasn't
it's LA.
This wasn't the nicest hospital.
Yeah, it's LA.
There's a guy.
Wasn't it? It was near downtown, right?
Yes. In my stay there,
anywhere near downtown,
I have never seen so many face tattoos in one place. In my life,
dude. You know what's even worse is county hospital. Do you remember that ex-girlfriend who wrecked her bike and punctured her lung?
Yeah.
They didn't know if she had insurance, so they just took her to county. And, dude, that shit is from the 1940s.
Yeah.
It looks like this is where they used to fucking give lobotomies. And it's where anybody who's been stabbed or shot goes because they have the most experience because that's the only thing they treat
there. Take them to county. So there was a guy out front, a lot of face tattoos, very menacing. I wanted to drop Courtney off. She refused. She wanted to be.
I'm surprised there's not any like more like psychos coming into the ER waiting room to like fuck shit up.
Yeah, you would think, because the security presence wasn't. Well, it was actually. So we walk in and she's in clear pain. Like, I have like my arm. Yeah. Like, I'm kind of.
Is there a metal detector or one of those airport spin arounds?
A legit metal detector.
Really?
You have to walk through. And I say, sir, she's in labor. Can we just go right up? You got to go through the metal detector. I'm like, you're serious. And the guy's like,
does she have metal on her?
No.
Well, she could just walk through then.
No, yeah, but like he had to search all these.
You had to check your gun and all your bullets.
The guy goes, ask her. This is a pregnant woman in labor. Do you have a knife? You have a gun? You have a taser?
Yeah, but it's for your safety at that place.
He goes, do you have mace? Which I told Eleanor Kerrigan, and she said, did you ask him how else are we going to get this baby out? So then he's searching all, you have to bring like bag, you have all your stuff.
Oh, wait, back. Yo.
He's searching all our bags.
Really?
It's like she's like doubling over him. I'm like, let's go, man. Hurry up. So then the guy, a security guy, grabs a wheelchair, and I didn't see what he had something tattooed on his.
Put the towel down on the wheelchair too.
She was like, "I feel so bad, like I'm getting this chair wet." And he's like,
"Oh, Jesus."
And the guy's like, "Yeah, who cares?" And they're not like cleaning equipment.
That's why. Yeah, if you drop your cookie on that on the seat of a wheelchair in a hospital, why it'd be better just to leave it there.
So the guy, Wheelinger, had some sort of face tattoo and then a big pair of brass knuckles tattooed on his neck.
Oh, did you ask him what that is? That a,
I didn't ask.
In memory of a fallen family member?
Didn't ask how he got into the hospital security game, what he was doing before. So we go up there. And when the day before, we were concerned with the 10-hour wait, and we're like, if we come in here and, like, say your water's, you know, hypothetical.
Yeah, but I think they'll get you in there.
And they're like, oh, of course, we're going to get you in here. No problem. We go in there. She's having contractions. They're like, oh, I'll go in the waiting room over there. And they just made us sit in this fucking waiting room.
How long?
So she's in there, like, again, on a chair. We're like, you know, getting it kind of...
Juicy?
A little juicy. And you know that no one's cleaning it.
Someone's like, was she wearing juicy sweatpants?
She was not.
She's like, I've warned you. It's written on the back.
And she's like starting to become fairly audible about being, I mean, she's in pain. Yeah. And there's like this three African people in there. I didn't ask if they
Bushman?
I didn't ask. I was waiting to see Bushman as like a male nurse in this place, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, man.
Of course I got my medical degree. I'm Dr. Bushman.
I do the catheter.
So we're waiting in there. And I'm going back and forth to the desk like, hey, like what's the whole, what are we doing? And they're like, sir, there's a lot of births tonight. And it's just like, okay, like we can't get a fucking room.
Jesus. So how long did you have to wait?
Like they're like, we had just been
like,
there.
Is it over an hour?
Nah, probably no, like 30 to an hour, I'd say.
Jeez.
And so like, we're, and they're like, let me see your ID. I'm like, we were literally here less than 24 hours ago.
Just us getting in here.
Well, that, I was like, we've been
frisked. This is like going through the airport.
And I was like, but we were here yesterday. We gave all her ID.
I went to TSA already.
Yeah, they're like.
This guy already stamped my passport.
They're like, do you
ready to fucking roll.
They're like, do you have, like, so I have to go show her ID. I'm like, sorry, I had to leave her alone because I had to go show her ID to the front desk.
Yeah.
And she can't walk. So finally, they put us in a triage room where the triage, they just do not give a fuck. Like, she's in tremendous pain.
Dude, they're dealing with people that are dying.
Yeah.
They're dealing with people that are bleeding out. I'm surprised you didn't get triage. Blood to
I don't, but, like, I think that's more ER, but the triage isn't great.
Yeah.
I don't know what their function is.
I mean, it's something like that.
But they're pretty much just like, yeah, just, they put us in a room, and she's like, can I get an epidural? Because people are like, get the epidural right away.
You think, oh.
And they're like, oh, you're not.
Some people don't want it.
She wanted it bad. Okay. And they're like,
but she was also just started, so they're like, she's got time.
That, yeah. And they're like, oh, you're not getting that until you go into, like, birth and delivery, which, like, little did we know was, like, hours and hours and hours away.
No, I mean, that shit takes, like, it could take 40 hours. Yeah.
So we went in there at 11 at night. So we're in the room, like, and her contractions are getting, like, really bad. I mean, it's hard to, like, it's bizarre just because you're watching someone in, like, so much pain, but there's really nothing.
Yeah.
To do, like,
also, the body is equipped.
Yeah.
To in some way, shape, or form. I mean, it's weird because women that have had kids, they have kids again. You know what I mean? Even the, it's like, oh, yeah. For me, it would probably be enough to be like, all right, I'm done.
I think you just forget because after the experience, Courtney's talked to other women. They're like, yeah, a lot of women just aren't honest about, like, how bad and traumatic it is. I think after you forget with the result of you get the baby and you just kind of block. I think to have more kids, it's almost like an evolutionary thing. You block it out.
Well, no, I know, but some people have 10, 12 kids.
Oh, yeah, I can't imagine that. I told Eleanor, like, after, whose family, you know, her mom is like 10 kids or whatever. I was like, your mom either needs to, like, be made a saint or, like, committed because I was like, after witnessing, after a while, the contractions, like, she was just not screaming but definitely getting yelling, like,
yeah.
So it was getting tough. Finally, we get moved into the birth and delivery. She gets the epidural. Some women don't like the feeling of, you know, like their legs being numb. Or
I think my sister wanted to hold out like the whole, but then something happened and they're like, she did it the whole time and literally like the last fucking deal that they gave it to her. She's like, God damn it, I should have got it from the beginning, man.
Yeah, that would suck. There was one nurse, like, this, I don't know if this hospital was understaffed or like, and because we ended up being what? There.
Why? The security guy is the guy who ended up delivering the baby?
I wouldn't be shocked, to be honest.
He's like,
hold on, let
breast.
Me pull my security wand. They right when the baby comes out, they give it a quick wand over just to make sure there's no object.
One side of the neck's brass knuckles, the other side of the neck is a stethoscope. That's what you forgot to see.
Yeah, he was going to cover it. So we were there 24 hours, essentially, with the labor.
Okay.
So the baby was born at 10:22 p.m. the next night.
Okay.
So 11 p.m. to 10:22.
Okay.
So you're getting a lot of shift turnover.
Dude, what a fucking just sit around there for 24 hours.
I didn't sleep. I slept for an hour. I on this mini.
Did
love
you cruise
seat.
Around the hospital?
No, I mean you pretty much have to stay in the you have to be given moral support and kind of staying in there. I stayed in the room. Didn't really eat. But
did they have a Netflix?
We didn't. I don't think there was a TV in the birth room. There was in the triage, but for some reason they have like 1990s like CSI playing, like just like old.
Oh, so they had regular TV because that's all that's on regular TV.
Yeah,
is old CSI.
Yeah,
episodes.
This place wasn't springing for cable,
dude. I don't the people because Abby did an episode of one of those shows. She gets every month. She gets a fucking check.
Oh, there are those
still.
Are,
it's fucking airing. She did one episode. Can you imagine some of these people that are on there the whole fucking deal?
Oh, you're making money on money.
Crazy.
But so you see a lot of different nurses because you're there for so a lot of shift changes.
Yeah.
At one point we had one nurse for a long period of time. For whatever reason, it was usually like more than one person, but it was just her. And she kept like making me do a ton of work. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, what am I gonna do? You want me to scrub in? Like she kept being like, first of all, she was calling me sir. Like, sir. Sir,
What were you supposed to call you, though?
Just asked me my name. Like, she was in there for hours.
Yeah, but she's not going to remember. She probably has, like, dude, this lady's probably has, like, 50 fucking people.
So she was like, sir, pick her up. So I'm, like, picking up, like, and your legs are dead. So I'm picking up, like, dead weight and, like, moving her, like, all these positions.
Well, she probably couldn't do it.
Well, but it's just, like, where is somebody else?
Well, I guess, though, if you're going to have anybody touch her, wouldn't you rather it be you?
Well, I mean, I guess. But, and she's like, I'm like helping remove like pads that are being, various fluids. And like, she at one point there's like ketchup like packets of like some sort of jelly. And she's like, sir, can you open all these? And I was like, I'm like, why am I doing
was that? To rub on the stomach?
I don't know what it was.
She's like, this is for lunch.
Yeah, who knows? May have been soy sauce.
Sir, can you open those? Can you put that on my sandwich, please?
I wouldn't be shocked.
Sir, can you spread that on my sandwich?
So then at one point, they had her start pushing like pretty early. She got, which I think in hindsight was too early because she got gassed. Like,
what, you never done this. You're sitting here going,
it's true.
I think you're going too early here. This is exactly the kind of shit that they hate. You're like, don't you think
Doc? I didn't say that in there. But she got, because they were like, sometimes women push for like 4 hours.
Yeah.
But there are women who like just get lucky and, like five pushes or like an hour or whatever. And but like so they're like 4 hours of like hard pushing is tough and you're in pain. But so at one point like there's pushing and she's just like and Courtney was in pain and she's like, think about when you see your baby. And she turned to me because she finally did ask me, what's your name? And I told her like 10 minutes prior to this. And she's like, it's a boy, right, Greg? And I said, it's a girl and it's Jeff. And Courtney's mom got a kick out of that because I think she could tell that I had had enough of this woman like berating.
In her defense,
it's a tough job.
50 fucking people going.
Oh, and it's a hard job.
Yeah.
But she, at one point, she trained me to read the computer. And she's like, when she has contractions, you got to be in charge. You got to tell her to push.
Yeah.
So I'm reading the computer. And then at some point she explained something to me, but I didn't really understand it. And she's like, are you helping or not? And I was like, Jesus Christ, man. What the fuck?
Lady's stressed out, man.
Like, I better be getting a partial degree out of this.
It's the new healthcare system. They're dangerously understaffed everywhere. In Canada, they're literally walking out of hospitals because some people have 150 patients on their shifts. And they go, I can't possibly give like realistic diagnosis and keep people alive with this amount of responsibility.
Yeah, I would imagine the stress.
It might be happening here too.
So towards the end, Courtney was just like, I just can't push anymore. I'm just fucking fatigued. And the baby was like,
what do you do if you can't push anymore?
Well, the problem was that
she
was too vocal about saying, I can't feel if I'm pushing or not, which I think was a bad move in hindsight, because then they're like, oh, let's turn your epidural off. But when they did that, she got in like tremendous, because you're like feeling nothing. So she felt like tremendous pain.
Oof.
And then like, it was like, no, I need
She's
it back.
Like, no, I'm definitely pushing.
No,
I'm
like,
definitely pushing.
That, and it was like, I need it back. But it took a while because they're like, we can't find the anesthesiologist because there's a lot of other things going on.
Yeah.
And so then finally they got back on. But the baby was very stubborn too. It was a real battle of the wills because the baby was like, I don't think crowning, but close. But then the nurse who was bossing me around was like, oh, the baby has climbed back up. Like, so
was like, I'm not, this is,
so it was like pretty much at the start. And she was hearing all this and was like, fuck, I had to start all over. Like, oh. So towards the end, she's like, I'm just like exhausted. Like, I've been, and she's just like, I need some help. Like, so,
so what do they do? Bring in a professional butcher?
They,
what do they do?
They were trying everything. Because
you they get two guys on the side of you just pushing.
At one point, they set up this contraption and they put like a fucking bed sheet on it, like a tug of war. They're like, this is like a tug of war. Put your feet up there. And you got a, I was in charge of a right leg because it was dead to the world. A lady who was training to be a nurse was in charge of her left leg, but had it torqued at such a bizarre angle. They're like, one of the, like, you're going to like fuck up her ankle. Because like, she can't feel anything. Like, you got to straighten her leg. Like you got to straighten that out.
So this was actually, I hope you got a discount.
Yeah.
This is like a training seminar.
Well, then it gets worse.
Was this in a surgery theater?
It gets worse because, so we're like, they're like, we can help you. Like, do you want to use the vacuum? And we're like, which is basically like,
you push,
and the doctor helps you.
It's a shop vac.
And she's like, yeah, I just don't think I have the power to push anymore. But they give you this whole spiel of like, it's terrifying. They're like, we can rip your baby's skull off.
Yeah.
It can be brain
damage. Do damage to just to the whole structure of the skull,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's just like, Jesus Christ. So we're like, oh, yeah, like, you know, we don't really see what else is going to work here. So we're like, it's worth a shot. And they're like, you have three vacuum tries, and then it's emergency C-section. No more. So, like, all
by the way, how fucking great is it to be giving birth in 2018 versus fucking 1718?
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Where people are dying.
They're like, yeah, there's nothing. You're pushing your whatever.
Yeah, could take 40 hours.
This is a high likelihood that you're going to die or the baby's going to die and you're going to be in severe fucking pain while it's happening.
Well, the woman who was our breastfeeding consultant, which obviously was not around,
dude,
that
I
either.
Love these fucking niche markets that pop up for all this, man. It's just, and then at some point you realize, is any of it necessary?
Oh, we didn't, this is just at the hospital. Like, we didn't do it. People do
pitching you?
No, but people do this on their own. No, it's just like someone they have as a resource.
There are, I mean,
but there are people who pay for that on their own.
But I know somebody who had like severe issues.
No, there are a lot of women who do have trouble.
But it's
But that woman I actually saw at my neighborhood Trader Joe's.
Also,
I was like, you look
been
familiar. Do you live in X area?
Oh,
she
really?
Was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, I saw you last week. But she also said she had labor for 48 fucking hours.
Yeah, it happens, man. That's I knew a girl who had issues with breastfeeding, but I also know what her nipples look like. So
what is that?
They were like, double nips.
Are they broke?
So maybe they're like two.
That's why the baby couldn't get on.
Baby's like, it's too much nipple for
me. It's like an outside basketball hoop. They sometimes put double rims. Always hard to shoot on.
Yeah, it's like throwing me off here, trying to latch on.
So all of a sudden, and Courtney had run a fever, so they thought that she had gotten an infection from so many people fucking probing her after her water broke.
Wait, really?
Pretty much.
What, like the brass knuckle neck tattoo guy?
Yeah, I was like, you want a shot, sir? Come on
dude,
in.
He probably got fucking infected.
The guy
from
with the tattoos on his face out front who's just hanging out in front
of
the ER.
I don't know how people that work in hospitals aren't fucking dying of every infectious disease that comes through there.
Yeah.
Because I've never met somebody that has spent at least 24 hours in a hospital that hasn't come home with something that they didn't go in there with.
Oh, like all of our clothes that was any sort of exposure. Like
burn them.
We quarantined immediately and washed the day after. It's like, dude, I'm not touching that. I'm not wearing that.
I know people have gone in there for something and every one of them's come out with a staph infection.
You can get a disease called C. difficile where it's pretty much from people not washing their hands after they shit. And then you touch your mouth or whatever.
Or just from giving birth and touching other people's shit that comes out and then running to another person and putting that shit in there.
So because she had a fever, we had to have two or three people from a special unit come in. All these like fucking training, like literally there's a pretty small room. I would say like 10 to 15 people were crammed into this tight space.
Jesus.
And so I'm looking at the vacuum and the vacuum isn't, it's oddly more of like a suction than a vacuum.
I've seen it.
You would think it's like something that actually like,
no.
But it just looks like a sponge that you know, like suction to the top of the head, like a plunger almost. And you pull out. And so I'm looking and I'm like, there's a man and there's a woman and they're both doctors. And I'm like, it's very clear that the man is the senior because he like, but she was holding the thing. And I was like,
You're like, hey, is this your first time?
Yeah, I was like, what?
He's just supervising because you got to have that. Like,
but
she knows what she's doing. But
so she puts it on and they're like, you have to push. But we like, keep in mind, we have the three tries. But if you don't push, like, this isn't going to work. And so, like, and I'm like, I know you're tired. Like, I give a pep talk. Like, you got to give everything you got.
How crazy is they used to use those forceps?
Yeah.
To clamp down on your fucking head.
Sylvester Stallone ruined one of his eyes.
Both of them. Severed the nerves.
That's why they stopped doing it, is there was just too
because
much.
Because of Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
People saw Rocky and they go, Jesus Christ.
This guy talks weird, but he made it. He's the poster child of
goddamn
success.
Superstar.
But so the woman puts it on. There's some pushing. In the whole room, by the way, and the contractions, oddly enough, this baby has a great sense. Contractions slow down, so we're all just like waiting there, like this 50 is very tense. Everyone's just like sitting there waiting in silence.
Like, you're wasting my time. Were you worried you're going to be like, all right, well, we're going to take off, and then we'll be back in like 30 minutes.
But when you do push, like, all the nurses are all like, just push like you're pooping. Just push.
Yeah, I've heard. That's
a lot of
by
that.
The way, I'd be like, can we change it to shitting or crapping? I don't do pooping. It's disgusting.
So so the woman puts it
Did
on.
Did you watch?
Oddly, so the woman who kept, in my head, I was like, I'm not looking at anything. Like, I refuse to look at anything. I don't want to see anything. But I'm in there. So like at one point, they're like, I looked and I was like, oh man, there's more than I wanted to see. But then the nurse who was bossing me around, like, she's like, hey, look at this, and fooled me into like looking down and seeing the head. And
wait,
like,
what is it? A practical joke?
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? But she didn't say it.
So the head was half out?
A little bit out.
So it's like some horror movie where it's like a head. And it's like, ah.
It's weird though, because she would push, the head would come out, and then you stop pushing and it would just go right back in. It was like a weird jack in the box, a literal box.
Did she laugh after she tricked you?
I don't think she meant to trick me or knew that I didn't want to look. But when someone says look, like, you have to look.
What's this hospital called?
I don't know.
Like Memorial Prankster Hospital?
Joker's a while. I don't know. Practical Joker's Hospital, the show. So, I built up a slight, I'm going slowly but steadily.
No, I can't do it.
And it was so tense that I was like looking down to be like, because I didn't want to, I was like, I want to make sure everything's, not that I could prevent anything, but.
Okay, what are you going to tell him? Hey, he started contractions too early.
So then the woman doctor puts the suction thing on and I see it like rip off like hard. I'm like, Jesus, like you told me you could like really injure, like careful, man. Like,
yeah. By the way, they're giving you worst case scenario.
No, I know. Oh, I've had surgeries.
It's like never happens.
And so then I see the male doctor like lean in and like giving, what went wrong, giving advice. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, hey, how about we try the rookie on somebody else's baby? How about you get your work fucking hours?
Dude, I mean, everybody's.
No, start somewhere.
It's like you got to. By the way, you never know, man. Sometimes the older guys are worse because they've done it so much. They just, it's become second nature and more shit can go wrong sometimes. This lady at least is like fucking hyper focused on it.
So then try to lady whiffs again hard. And in my mind
now all the pressure's on.
And I'm like, I'm close to being like, can we just have it, like, it's clear this guy is like knows what he's doing. He takes over and
he takes
the reins. He's like, we only got three shots and it's clear you're not doing too good. And so the contractions at that point were even slower, and I look down and the head's like fairly out, and there's hair on the head, and he's like, "You want to touch the hair?" To Courtney and me, and we're both like, "No,
get it out of there."
Well, and it's just like covered in like goop, and it's like, "How about when you clean it up, I'll touch the hair." I don't want. So then Courtney pushes again, and the guy gives a like you see the head come out, and then all the body like. Goes oddly gelatinous. Like, I almost thought the body was like something wrong with it because it was like, is there bones? Like, it was just like.
Well, no, they're soft.
That and just like.
That's why they're supposed to be soft so they can bend and get out.
Yeah, so it just came out. It saw a lot more fluid and blood than I could care for, to be honest. Yeah. But I thought it would be like horrifying. I wasn't horrified by it.
I can't take blood and fluids.
Yeah, didn't bother me. And so then, baby was out. John Little, who was texting me after, was asking about the experience. He said, I know a woman with three kids. She says, having kidney stones, hell of a lot worse than birth. And so
I have heard that kidney stones are the worst thing you could ever have.
So Courtney was like curious about it, asked her her aunt who's had both. She knew two kids and kidney stones, and she agreed. She said, so drink your water, everybody. You don't want kidney stones.
I've heard that people think that they're dead. I knew a guy who had one when he was like 25. No, he was younger than that because we were in college. And dude, he pissed it out, and it was so painful he passed out.
I've heard of people.
Take him to the hospital.
I've heard of people collapse.
He pissed it, and it fucking, his dick, blood was coming out of it, and he fucking passed out from the pain.
Whew.
Like, just collapsed.
Yeah, John Little said the woman described it as pissing razor blades.
Can you imagine? It's not a smooth pebble. It's like a jagged pebble ripping through your fucking urethra.
Oh, I've had kidney stones are nothing, of course.
Passing kidney stones like beating Norm MacDonald.
It's like butter just coming out of your dick. Of course. The day we were leaving the hospital, I had to go down, pack the car, because they like make you get an escort if you're the pregnant lady.
Yeah, it's like you're on vacation. You're like, I'm going to pack the car.
Yeah.
And you guys come down in 20 minutes.
So right when I'm leaving the hospital, this woman must work this beat. Didn't look homeless, but missing a lot of teeth.
Wait, she works there?
No, but I'm saying like she approaches
She's hanging out
right outside the doors and starts walking in stride. I'm like, here we go. And her initial line is, don't look at me like that. I'm from the Bronx. Which I don't know if that meant a threat or like, hey, I'm cool. I was like, okay, cool. So then she's like, my sister threw me out. She stole my stuff. I need to catch a bus.
Yeah, okay. Where? Back to Brooklyn?
She's like, do you have $2? And I was like, I'm high on life. I'll give you $2. I didn't really believe it, but I was like, whatever. I'll give you $2. So I give the lady $2. I go back inside. And as we're pulling out of the visitor's lot, this lady approaches the car. And she gives me the exact same speech, like verbatim.
Did you just tell her?
I just gave you $2. Oh yeah, I remember you. No, thank you. Like,
there you go, dude.
And I go, what'd you do with the $2? And she's like, oh, now I need to take a train and a bus. And I'm like, I'm not giving you anything.
By the way, you can't take either for $2.
And I'm like, I'm not giving you anything.
Did you tell her, hey, you know what? Don't pull this shit on me. I'm from Brooklyn. That's what I would have said to her.
Double solicitation. I was like, Jesus Christ, man. Come on.
You should go there. You know what? You should go there in 3 weeks and be like, did you ever get that fucking bus?
She goes, if you want, you can just give me a ride. And I was like, absolutely not giving you a ride.
Yeah, sit next to the newborn baby, please. Yeah. And make sure you cough on her.
Can you hold the baby? I saw somebody taking my spot as I was leaving.
Did you go get your car seat checked out?
I did. CHP.
Yeah, they have to.
CHP, California Highway Patrol.
Fuck that shit.
We had one of like, this lady seems like it was a female cop, and she seemed like the way she held herself, I was like, this lady could beat the fuck out of me. She's like, oh, I've never even seen one of these fucking things, like swearing. I was like, this lady seems like she's seen some shit. I saw her berating a fellow officer in front, and then she's like, yeah, you guys next? Come on outside. I was like, fuck.
Is there like a special assignment where all you do is check the car seat or whoever's available?
There's a thing where like they have to be certified. There's like some sort of, they have to take like class.
Yeah. My sister would get on like all three kids. It's like at some point you're like, I know how to do this shit.
Oh, I would think after the first
one. There was some situation where like it might lower your insurance or something too.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We just did it for peace of mind. Just because, like, in the back of your mind, you're like, I think I did it right, but did I do it right?
Yeah. It's...
First day, we gave baby Barb a bath. Rookie mistake.
Yeah, are you supposed to?
Oh, you just kind of, like, because their umbilical cord's still healing, like, you have to just kind of...
do, like, a little sponge.
Like, hand wash them. But, like, yeah, hand bathing. And we wrapped her in a towel. Did not put the safety back on the gun, and she shat on both me and Courtney.
Yeah.
Rookie mistake. It was a good welcoming first day to parenthood.
It's pretty explosive, too.
The good news is if you breastfeed, which Courtney is.
Yeah, it's just like a...
It's odorless, fairly odorless.
It's like a paste or something.
Yeah, it's not. They say when the foods come in is when the duty really gets
I've seen
that,
it because
news.
That would be my biggest concern, but everyone's like, newborn baby shit is not an issue.
It's not bad. No, it's not crazy. And they're so small. They say their stomach's the size of a marble, so it's not...
Yeah.
But a lot of... and this is if anyone wants to date baby Barb and you're listening to this 18 to 20 years later... this lady is sharding just up a good solid rippers in her first week of life, and you're like, yeah, that definitely, dude, we got to check the diaper on that one.
That's a bee. So she's got big old beefers.
Yeah, born with them.
That's, dude,
they said we had a doctor's appointment. They now claim you need to go to the doctor within 2 days just to make sure you're good. And we went, and the doctor was like, she's like, the farts are going to be way louder than you expect. Just like, as a woman, like,
those little butt cheeks really produce quite a
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's very odd to see such a small being produce a big old fart.
That's why you, because I've seen this happen. This is not pleasant, but like, some of them are, some of the shits are so powerful, it blows it up their back.
Yeah.
Goes all the way back up the, I saw it happen like when they got older, it started smelling like, it's like the back of the hair.
You gotta, if you have a rat tail, fucking shit. You gotta clip it up.
Oh, man.
You can't wear a hood. Yeah, Courtney calls those blowouts because she's has taken care of kids in the past. And she said, we've been lucky so far with that, but yeah, it is
I think
possible.
When you get older, though, they get the bigger blowouts.
Yeah, when they're eating food.
I mean, I got to be honest with you. I'll still have a blowout occasionally.
I think most adults,
on my back?
I've had to go down my pant leg onto the floor.
Mine only goes up the back. It's like, is that shit on your neck?
And I need to get baby Barb in the pool, but right now she's very sensitive to, hates being cold.
You got
to
wait a while,
No,
dude.
I know. I'm not going right away.
Yeah, you're like, got to get her in the pool, but now she's sensitive to the cold.
I think I'm waiting like till week 3.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at babies in the Y, and I'm like, oh, they don't even know who's coming.
You can do the one where they just throw them in and they start swimming.
because
seems like a real risky move. By the way, be careful, dude, of the fucking dry drowning shit.
I know, yeah. When we take her diaper off, immediate crying, just hates being like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they say a lot of just not used to it. Just like.
You swaddling?
Yeah, they make swaddles now where you Velcro. It's easy. It's dummy proof.
It's crazy how they went so long without swaddling, and then people started swaddling, and it's literally revolutionized baby raising.
Our first night didn't do it. Well, we did it, but it was like a light one. And we had her in like, I don't even know what they're called, those onesies, but like the ones with the legs and the arms are not covered. And she was cold and she slept horribly. But then the next night we like dressed her up like she was in a cold climate and she was much happier.
And just scream in her ear.
Yeah.
The loud shh. Don't they tell you to do that?
We have a fan in our room on.
Oh.
So it's pretty loud.
But it's supposed to like loud in the ear, the shh.
Oh, really?
Like that? Yeah, that's what I've heard. I don't know. don't do it. Better look this up. This might just be it's an urban legend. I don't know.
So that's everything you need to know about baby Barb. Thank you to everyone who reached out on Twitter. Appreciate the kind words. Sorry we couldn't record, but obviously last week we couldn't do a live in the although this hospital probably would have welcomed.
Would have been good. I would have brought the equipment down to the station.
We had 24 hours to do it.
Just had a live birthing podcast.
Have you seen the Andre the Giant documentary yet?
Yeah, I wasn't.
You didn't love it?
You know what? I've seen documentaries on him before, and I was expecting something new, but there was nothing new.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is with podcasting, and Andre's a fairly mythical person. It seems like a lot of it's been covered.
I think I saw one in the 90s, though, that I was. Dude, and it was only like an hour and 17 minutes, and 15 minutes was about Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that was weird. It was a weird departure. Obviously, that was a big match, Andre versus Hulk Hogan, but it was odd that they spent so much time on that part.
I wanted to get more into the drinking. I wanted to get more
into the daughter.
The daughter they did nothing about. They skirted it. I loved his buddy, though, his best friend.
He reminded me, if you watch American Pickers, he reminded me of Frank. He looked like Frank.
A little bit. It looks like someone that would pick
from.
That
guy had a strong Boston accent.
Yeah, he was.
He's like, we were drinking hard, Andre and I. You know, he was my best friend. The guy was like small and fat. He was such a great look.
I watched it, and I, Abby and I had watched another documentary, and we both looked at each other and we're like, "That was it." I think I learned. When HBO does a documentary, you expect, like some shit you've never seen before. But I feel like I was like, all right, I knew all of this. I felt like I had already read about it or seen stuff on it.
Andre was a real ladies' man. Said he was really.
He didn't get into that much though. Yeah. Like,
I wanted to meet,
talk
to a lady. Who fucked him.
Somebody, Ric Flair alluded to the size of his dick. Well,
He's like, he had a size whatever ring, and he had huge feet.
He said he wore a size 23 shoe. What do you think? I wanted to hear a lady who was like, his fucking. Show me out with your hands how big that dinky was.
Man, like, was he able to fuck on top? Was he not? Because he was too much of a mountain of a man.
Dude, I want, yeah, there's.
Yeah, like, did you feel like you were going to die? Like,
if did he finger you, did, was it actually, his dick might have been smaller than his fingers.
They said he had to finger women with his pinky toe because it was the only thing on him that was small.
But
enough.
He never cut his toenails.
He seems like a guy who wouldn't cut his toenails.
Dude, you'd have to cut his toenails with a chainsaw.
With a, you'd have to use a chisel. And
yeah, no, that's the thing, man. Like, it's HBO. You have free reign. Like, I want to know. Chicks that fucked him. I want to know.
Yeah, talk to him.
I want to know what happened with the daughter. He's like, oh, he always felt bad. Yeah, you didn't feel that bad because you never fucking did anything with the daughter.
They let the daughter talk for like 1 second.
I know.
Where was the mother? How did he meet the mother? It wasn't even like discussed.
This, and also, was he banging the chick that was running his farm?
It
alluded to it, but then she was
She lived with like a man. So I don't know if it was like an open relationship. It did seem odd.
Dude, I wanted to see photos. Somebody said there was a photo, and I must have missed it, of him in an airplane seat. I didn't see it.
There was one, yeah.
But I wanted to know more about him flying. This guy flew. Dude,
he said he couldn't. Said 14-hour flight. Could not go to the bathroom because he couldn't fit. He had to piss in buckets behind the curtain.
With a curtain. I said someone walked back there, opened it, and there's Andre the Giant taking a shit in a bucket. He's like, oh, excuse me.
You need to leave.
And then they would just open the window to the airplane and chuck it out.
I also wanted more stories of him being an asshole because they said he had a mean side. And if he didn't like you,
you know what?
Kamala claims he claims that he had to carry a gun because he feared for his life because Andre was beating the fuck out of him.
They said
so
that like if he didn't like you, he would give it to you hard. But you know what it was? It was such a...
They were trying to make him look good.
Yeah, it was such like a heroic. They put him up on a pedestal. And what I wanted to see was the real fucking Andre the Giant.
Just a real man.
I didn't see the shit. I didn't see the real Andre.
Like Big John Studd left the WWF because he was getting bullied so bad by him.
And by the way...
Big John Studd was 6'10". He wasn't no small man.
Like, what, are you going to ruin his legend? It's like he's a human being. No, nobody's fucking perfect, but the flaws are what make the legend.
I've heard on podcasts he hated Jake the Snake. I forget the reason. And he would, if he hated you, this was like a staple move of his. He would hold you down on the ground. And then they showed him like the guys they said he hated. He would step on their chest and shit. Ugh. But he would hold you on the ground. He would step on your hair. Then he would pull your arms up so he'd rip your fucking hair out. And Jake the Snake had long hair. And they're like, there's just nothing. I mean, what are you going to do? Fight the fucking guy?
Dude, the best. I didn't like the climax when it was like his match with Hogan. Okay, everybody knows. But then he went on to wrestle for like another decade.
Yeah.
It was like, okay. And this was it. And then they're like, but then he showed up. And he, like, get into that.
Hulk Hogan, very emotional. Guy broke down in tears.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah, yeah. He basically made him, too. He like kind of.
The guy was a fucking superstar.
There was a story I read in a book once where Andre the Giant dropped an N-bomb on a bus. There was this guy named Bad News Brown.
Oh, I remember that.
I think he was a judo. He was like a legit badass. And he got off the bus and he goes, I don't give a fuck how big you are or if you beat me. Get the fuck out here and fight me right now. And he wouldn't do it.
Didn't he apologize?
And then
he
said, he claimed, like, oh, I'm foreign. I don't know the meaning of that word. But I was like,
dude, get into that shit. Like, so much shit was. By the way, it's not like you're going to, like, expose him as some. He's a fucking guy. Everybody knows he's got dark secrets.
The one part I never had heard is that he had legendary farts. Giant farts.
Yeah.
They said he would lift they would cock a leg up in the air.
That was the only new piece of information I didn't know. And that was when I was like, oh, this is getting good.
They said he would fart for like 30 straight seconds of like a train rumbling.
That's what it all should have been. His farts, his fucking.
I would like to see picture of his donger. But if his dong was so big, he wore a goddamn singlet. You would see it.
But you never know. He might have tucked it up in his asshole.
That could be true.
Also, I would like, at some point, he took a photo of one of his shits. I want to see that guy sitting on a toilet. There's no way.
Did he get a special made toilet? This is like, was his house custom made?
I said that to somebody when I was talking to this about him. I think it was John Little. I said, I want to see his house because he had to have had it custom made. He didn't fit in anything. And I said, just like those little people houses. You know how they have everything lower? I want to see the giant chair. I want to see the giant toilet. I want to see the bathroom.
I didn't know.
He can't fit in a regular shower.
He used a fucking toilet brush in his hair.
Yeah, he brushes his teeth with a fucking paintbrush. With a rake.
I didn't know that. Oh, fuck. I just lost my train of thought. Oh, I didn't. What was I going to say? Oh, I didn't know that they said they could have like stopped his giantism. And he said no because he felt it may hurt his career.
Yeah, that was weird. I don't know.
But it seemed like late in life that happened.
You know, I have a cousin who has like a form of that because he had cancer when he was like young.
Oh, okay.
And then they gave him all these growth hormones. Yeah. And now his voice is like Andre the Giant's, and his hand is, swear to God, is like three people's hands. He's only, he's probably like 6'6", 6'7", but like he's a fucking huge.
I think Bigfoot Silva has a form of that in the.
But then they stop. Yeah.
His head, his face, his jawline.
Yeah.
The head and that big old cranium.
And that voice too. Another guy has that,
I was
that
shocked.
Too.
I didn't realize he died at 40. Andre the Giant looked like 60 years old.
I didn't realize that either. That was another shocker. I go, wait, he's not much
older than us now, which is crazy.
I know.
46. They said he knew he was like dying young. That's why he drank so heavily.
Yeah, I mean,
that, and he was like, seemed like a depressed person.
Also, like, if you're that big, like, it was, I loved when he came out in the fucking crutches. Like,
yeah. Well, towards the end, Jesus. Like, because I, like, if you watch Vince wrestling past a certain year, like, you can tell he can barely move. Like, his back's fucked up.
The match with Hogan, he could barely move.
Yeah, like, he's using the ropes to stand. Like, he's, like, invisible.
It was just a lot of bouncing off the ropes. And
he would get you down.
Occasionally, he would, like, kind of fall.
He'd ram you with his ass. Like, it just wasn't a lot that he could do.
I don't know why he didn't incorporate the farts as his finishing move.
I wonder if he did fart on guys he didn't like. Like, he'd get you down and just didn't really.
I also like how they played it out, too, where it's like, whoa, Andre might not let me win. He might not fucking let me win this match. Get the fuck out of here. You knew he was going to let you win. And they tried to really make too much of a drama out of it, but I didn't think you needed to dramatize it. It was already dramatic enough.
There was
another
guy, I want to say it was Blackjack Mulligan, who got in like a fuck. I think he was like a big motherfucker. He was like 6'8", and he was like one of those country strong, like southern guys.
Yeah.
And they got in like a drag out brawl, him and Andre. I think it was in Japan. They like broke through like the fence of a hotel patio and like rolled down a hill. And it was like this like epic fucking battle that ended pretty much in like a draw.
How much did that guy weigh?
He was a big dude.
I mean, Hogan claims he weighed 300 pounds and he didn't weigh 300 pounds.
And Blackjack, I guess the next day, because Andre the Giant called everyone boss. He's like, oh, we're good, boss? And the guy's like, yeah, we're good. Because neither of them, like, I don't want to go through that again. It was a battle. Yeah. Imagine seeing Andre the Giant fight some guy. You're like in a restaurant.
Insane. Be insane.
The beer in his hand looked crazy.
That
it looked like a drink.
That was the funniest.
Looked like a child's juice box.
By the way, Mean Gene looks exactly the same. He's like 80 years old now.
Yeah, I know.
He looked 80 back then.
He had like odd insight into Andre. It seemed like they were like pretty close.
I mean, he was a pretty pivotal part in that whole organization. I mean, Mean Gene had his own action figure.
I had it.
And he was a big part of the WWF cartoon series.
He was. Have you seen A Quiet Place?
I have, yeah. Saw it opening night.
I did as well, actually.
It's pretty good.
It was, we don't have to say too much. I don't want to spoil it if anyone hasn't seen it. I enjoyed it.
I mean, it's made $200 million. Everybody's seen it.
Tough movie if you have like a cold or if you want to eat anything because it's so quiet that like people behind me were trying to eat stuff and all those wrappers are so crinkly. And so they were like, I could tell, like really having trouble like finding parts where they could eat food.
Yeah, well, I got news for you. Where the theater I was in, nobody gave a shit. There was a child in there who was talking to his mother. The mother was having him watch a separate movie on her phone.
Ugh.
The kid was like 4. And he kept going.
That's horrible.
Then the phone stopped. It was the row in front of us. And then the mom turns on a new movie and the speaker's on because he must have unplugged his headphones. And everyone's like, what the fuck's going on? And I was sitting next to 2 skateboarders who were sitting on the stairs because they had snuck in there.
Oh, God.
And then there was some guy and
sounds
his
like
lady.
A amateur hour.
Dude, a guy and his lady were making out, then giggling. I thought she was going to start sucking his dick. I'm there with my mom.
That's not a movie you make out in either. It was pretty intense.
So part of the movie, I was like just infuriated because little things distract me quite easily.
I saw the sequel to The Strangers a while back and... it was the loudest. I will never go back to the theater. Loudest theater I've ever. To the point where people started fighting. People just wouldn't stop, like yelling shit. This guy gave up. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
but
I was
in a rough
that guy.
Area, so I didn't know if like you don't want to get too aggressive because it could be gang members.
But I was almost that guy.
One guy gave a shoot that bitch in the face. Come on, man. And then like this lady was like, it's like building up tension. They're like showing this woman's feet. This bitch has got some big feet, man. Like going for like Joe. It's like, shut
Dude,
the fuck up.
I broke my rule. I normally don't do it, but I was like, okay. I always go see things 3-4 weeks after they've been out. It's always on a Tuesday afternoon. And that's my protocol. And I broke it, and I fucking regret it, and I'm going back to that.
That lady needs to get a babysitter. You can't 4-year-old into that, a movie that's dude, known for being quiet and is like
watching
a
another
dark,
movie.
And it's a dark movie. Like, say that kid looks up, it's some dark.
Oh, yeah. Well, then as soon as that, you know, the opening scene, something happened, yeah. or like the second yeah. scene, that's where the kid started fucking crying because he got scared.
Jesus.
And I was like, you are out of your fucking
people,
mind.
You need to be considerate. There's other fucking people who are in there to experience the thing. You can't ruin it.
Yeah.
What's wrong with people?
Have you, dude, now, have you seen Wild Wild Country?
No.
Oh, my God. You think, dude, this is, I don't know how many times I went, what? Holy shit. I couldn't, like, my mind was blown. I'm not going to say anything about it. If anybody hasn't seen it yet, you got to watch Wild Wild Country.
WWC.
It's about a cult that moves into a small town in Oregon. And it is the craziest.
Oh, is that the
shit.
Duplass family series? Duplass brothers?
They executive produced it, but some other guy.
I heard someone talking about it, and they were like, they liked it. They felt it like ran out of steam or something.
Yeah, I don't think it ran out of steam.
That's
I'll tell
according
you that.
To this person.
This is a real documentary, and for me, I could have watched it forever.
It's like a 5-parter?
Six, yeah.
I'll have to check it out. Yeah, I've heard of it.
Dude, once you get immersed in it, the first episode's a little slow, but it's just laying the groundwork, and then, dude, shit just gets so crazy that it's the classic, like, you can't write this shit.
I'll have to check it out. Are there, like, Dassey-like characters?
Dude, oh my God. It's nothing but. There's people, you're going to hate people, then you're going to love them, then you're going to hate them again. You don't know who's right, who's wrong. It gets fucking crazy.
quickly, there's a War of the Wills going on in my neighborhood that is just of epic proportions.
What does it have to do? Parking?
I don't know either of the parties involved. So,
is it a dog shit dilemma?
It's not. The area I live in is like starting to be gentrified. So there's like pretty nice parts, but then still in that, I think there's some gang play going on.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of tagging that goes on. And there's like this one guy in particular who just tags everything. And there's like this one big wall in this one part. It's like, it almost looks like it would be a cul-de-sac, but it's not. But it's like a big round turn. And so there's a big wall right there. And there's people, they keep tagging it like in huge fucking days.
Isn't there a walkway at the end of that cul-de-sac?
Yeah.
Because I once pissed down there.
I think. So,
but it's a scary wall. It's a lot of riffraff hanging out there.
Yeah. So there's some person who paints over every fucking tag.
You can get shot.
I don't. This guy, this is a
are
immoral,
you that tagger?
I am not the tagger or the painter. I'm putting that on the record. And they're painting over every fucking thing this person tags. And it's just a battle.
And does that guy come back and paint it over?
It's almost every day, back and forth. It's like a tennis
match. Spray paint. It's not anything good.
Just spray paint. And this motherfucker goes out there.
Why doesn't the other guy ambush the guy?
What, the guy, the paint, the guy painting over
it? I mean,
it
sounds like, who knows what party's at fault here.
The guy painting over it, I think, just looks out. He's like, oh, you think you got me beat?
But that guy could have painted over that guy's stuff previously. Who knows?
And so they painted on the curb. This guy takes out red paint. It was a fire curb. Doesn't match any of the other curb. Paints over it. This guy is just buying fucking paint all the time.
Jesus.
Some of it's high up where he's like, it looks like he needs a ladder. This guy is fucking.
He's not giving up his territory.
Well, neither of them are. The tagger's not giving up because they're like, I need my name on this wall. And the guy who's like, I refuse to let it stay there.
So what is he? Paints over and then writes his own name?
No, I'm saying this guy's a good citizen who's just painting the wall.
Oh,
back. He's just painting it back.
I thought
it was
a rival tagger.
No, he's painting the wall back to normal.
Oh.
And he's just refusing to let it stay.
But
the tagger, this is happening 2-3 times a week, and the tagger just comes back, and then the guy paints it back over.
Oh, so that guy's like, I got nothing but paint and time.
Yeah, this is like, I picture almost like a Clint Eastwood from
Who's
Gran
it
Torino.
Worse for? The guy paint? Because the guy, I think, painting it, since he lives probably right there.
He
just
told
walks out.
Courtney, I'm like, he lives somewhere right where you can see
and he
it.
Just rolls it out. He's like, you know what? I can do this. Let's see how long you got, my
I
friend.
I think he's like, eventually this guy is going to get to an age where he's like, what am I doing? I'm battling a fucking neighborhood guy over just to put my name on a wall?
I don't know, though.
These gangs roll deep. sleep.
Yeah, it's late. Like, you know what? Oh yeah, I'm gonna keep doing it.
I'm scared the guy just painting over it is gonna get killed.
You might want to keep eye on it. If this goes on for 20 years, you got a documentary on your hands.
I told
Courtney, then the two meet each other. And
I'm
like,
dying to meet the painter.
Why don't you just sit out there and
the
meet
the tagger? I'm not really dying
interview
to meet.
The tagger and interview the painter.
The tagger, I would be scared of just even talking to be honest. I don't know. They
depends
made,
how you approach it. He might
true.
Be open to tell a story. He's maybe like, he's got a reason. Maybe his fucking buddy got shot on that curb.
He's like, I want a tribute
to respect.
To
yeah, man.
And the painter's just like, I hate graffiti, and I don't.
Maybe the guy's like, my wife got shot on this curb. I don't want it to be desecrated
by the guy who was killed.
Yeah,
that's
maybe.
Why.
Maybe you find
maybe he killed the man's friend.
Maybe you find some sort of common ground where they both are like, what if the graffiti guy gets to paint the curb the color that the guy's painting it?
I saw today. Because like 2 days ago, they did it in huge black letters. I'm talking like 4 feet tall letters across the whole thing. And like literally 24 hours gone. And then I see today and I'm like, oh, you must be loving it. But then I walk closer. They did it in like a white paint. So it's hard to see on the background of the wall. It's like a mint green.
What if the graffiti guy is like, at some point he wants to, like his family or whoever's like, hey, we're going to move. He's like, I'm not moving anywhere until I fucking get that shit. And it stays there.
This guy, I mean, and he's covering a decent area because there's like some other areas that I think he's painting over too.
Dude, what if, you know what the tagger needs to do? He needs to get the old hammer and chisel out and chisel his fucking shit in there.
That's true.
That dude, he's like, beat you motherfucker. Try to
something tells
fill,
me
he's gonna get the cement out and fill it in.
I think he would. To the level of dedication this guy is showing and the lack of quit.
Who's laughing more?
I don't know.
I mean, these other guys might be like, I'm gonna fucking.
I think it's just a battle. The Titans both are obviously have great work ethic and
one of them's got to be fucking with the other. They can't both be dead serious.
I was wondering, like, is this some sort of public form of like art where it's like the same guy is doing both? It's
like a Banksy?
Yeah, like some sort of like display exhibit.
For you, the one guy that notices it?
I guess. I don't know. So other people have to notice.
You
it's
should
a,
put a,
it's an epic battle.
Put a flyer up and be like, hey, does anyone have any information? I'd like to talk to him.
I'm not a cop.
Get the story.
Don't kill me.
Yeah, but you're put a picture of yourself, but only with a mustache on.
And I've driven late. I've never seen either party. And I've been there during the day. I've never seen either person do it. So I don't know who I don't like. You would think I would see one of them at one point.
It would be like 5 a.m.
Yeah, you would. I would assume the tagging is going on late.
Swinging and tagging.
Yeah, but it's something I got to keep an eye on. I don't know what how it's going to end or if one of them is going to eventually quit.
Yeah,
it'll be a sad day when I see that the tagging stays up there because I know something happened. It's either true. That or he just gave up. It's like fuck it. I got other things to do.
Well,
but I don't know.
Saga continues.
So far, it's a stalemate. I love it.
We'll see what happens.
I love the entertainment. I thank them both for the entertainment it provides me and my new family in the gang-ridden area we live in.
I know. All right, let's get out of here.
Thank you guys for listening.
Somebody, I don't know where this came from, but somebody was throwing my name into the ring of fighting. Luis Gomez?
Yeah, I guess at Ellis Mania. I saw that. Somebody tweeted.
When is that?
Let me see. I can tell you.
I would actually, I mean, I don't know the guy, and I wouldn't be like ill will, but I would actually consider if I had like enough time to train.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, does Luis Gomez try? Obviously, he's like immersed in the MMA world.
I think he does, or so. I don't know.
He's boys with.
Again, like,
Bisbee.
I don't know him. I have no beef, but I would just be, just as a. You know, just as a sportsman, like,
Just as like an athletic event.
Yeah. I would be interested in that. I think if it's at Ellis Mania, you become a pro fighter.
You get a record.
Which would be unbelievable. Win or lose, to have a fucking pro record would be a fucking.
Looks like it may be. I'm trying to. Let me see.
It's like, remember Ari was going to do it.
Yeah.
I felt like it was around this time. Maybe it's this summer or something. July.
Looks like
September.
Let me see though.
There'd be ample time.
How can I not find this like on a quick precursory?
Maybe they haven't set the date yet officially. Something tells me he's not planning it out. Like
you would think it would be at the same time though every year, right?
Probably. I would imagine. I don't know where that came from, but I saw a few people and I was like,
When then Luis Gomez answered, he said he's not afraid.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I don't know him, have no ill will, but I would like to test my...
I think he lost a bunch of weight, but I don't know like what he weighs.
Yeah, but I can go, I can fight anywhere from 200 pounds to probably 167.
Here's information. It's like the very fucking bottom of this.
He's got to weigh probably 170, 180. I could fight 170. It'd be tough.
You both know Kim Congdon.
That's true.
Not intimately. I'm not insinuating that. Yeah. You just know her as a person.
And I don't even want any like bad blood. I literally would just like to test.
Who knows? Maybe it could lead to a friendship.
Yeah, probably.
Since you've reached, what is this?
I don't know. Like, I mean,
there may
out.
Not be a date for it yet.
Yeah, I don't. Something tells me there might not be.
If anybody out, whoever started that tweet, if you know the date, feel free to.
I would have to have ample. I would really have to train. Like,
so if it was
legitimately,
in
this isn't going to be
like.
Yeah, I'm not going to be like Ari and Triple. It was like 2 weeks training. I would want to really do it because I mean you don't want to get hurt. One. And you don't want to fucking look like an asshole.
Yeah, you don't want to embarrass.
I don't
want to
waste people's time. If I'm going to go out there, I want to put on a little bit of a show at least.
It's in Vegas, right?
But I would like, to test
something
myself
to consider. We'll look into it, see if we can find out when it is.
I might be open to it though. That would be interesting.
You can get a professional fight under
your
belt.
Walk around there, a professional fighter, retired professional fighter.
It's for the pod.
How hilarious would that be? I would have to. I would have to start training this week if I were gonna do it.
Yeah, so
I got some serious.
If anybody, if you're out there and you know when it is, let us know. And Bushman could cornea. He'd be like, "You're black guy from Rocky IV."
Yeah, Bushman would be feeding me blowjob soup. I'll be out there trying to suck his dick.
He would give you the squirt bottle and it's hot soup and it like burns your fucking.
It's hot soup. Yeah, Bushman would be over there talking to some chicks or something. Like Bush,
you're like,
get
Bush,
over
I
here.
Need you to cut me.
Bush would be sitting on the stool. Oh man, I am so tired.
Aaron, I got something that's going to make you fight great in the next round.
I was like, Bush, why is the water bottle in a paper bag?
Here's what I got for you.
Oh, that's my beer.
Real hot peppers.
You're like, Bush, my mouth is scalding. Oh, yeah, it motivates you. Yeah. Of course I was a champion in Liberia.
Oh, MMA, Liberia was everywhere.
After Rocky IV, the boxing boom in Liberia was huge. Come on.
Oh, I was a judo champion.
Bush, there's no record of any. The records in Liberia aren't still 2000. Of course.
What a fucking maniac. Yeah, but I would definitely entertain that.
Yeah, I'll see if either I can figure out when it is or if somebody listening is going to hit us up and say either they know when it is or they'll figure it out.
Yeah. I would also like to know what his background is. This guy's a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
I don't think it is.
I'm going to have to fucking rely upon some serious striking here.
I don't think it is. I honestly don't, but at the same time, I don't know. You could ask Ari.
Yeah, maybe I'll hit up Ari.
Ari
will be like, yeah, you're not a big enough name. They're not going
to
do it.
I'm going to broker the deal here.
That's why when I wanted to fight him, he's like, it doesn't do me any good. You're not a big enough name, one. And two, like, you're going to hurt me. And I don't, if I would get hurt, it would be by somebody who has like a bigger name or something.
He didn't. I mean, Ari always puts out there. He doesn't want to fight.
He's got to fight somebody. And I told him, dude, you get a professional record. How cool. For the guy who's into just having like random experiences his fucking record, why would you not want to write that down? That you could say that you fought at a professional mixed martial arts event.
And why not be like Stockton's own, the Diaz brothers, and just fight like, and then after the fight, I was high on mushrooms that whole fight. like, you freaked the fuck out.
I mean, but a guy like Ari, it's not like he's like an accredited fighter. Nobody's expecting him to win.
When like...
You're fighting Tripoli, too.
You may get like knocked. I don't even think it's MMA rules, though. I think it's more like kickboxing, isn't it, or no?
I something tells me that you can do whatever you want, that sort of style.
But I think, though, because it is considered professional, there are some sort of guidelines, I think, but I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm sure there probably is more of like a boxing element to it.
Yeah.
Which would be fine. Like
I thought it was more like kickboxing.
Which would be great. I would love to do that because
And you're wearing headgear, so I don't know how bad.
By the way, I wouldn't want to wear the headgear.
Then go no headgear, like an old 80s hockey player.
No, but the headgear makes your head a bigger target. You're still getting the same damage.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with like softening a blow. Your head's still getting rocked back and forth. That's where the damage comes in. And now you have, it's harder to move in that shit and way bigger target. So I don't agree with headgear. It really, headgear is just used so you don't get cuts on your face and stuff like that. So the glove doesn't rip your skin open.
There were fights last night on FS1.
Yes, I read about those.
It was a weird. The New Jersey Commission, like New York, I think they have their own commission. It's not the national one.
Yeah.
And so there was a fight where this guy was winning the whole fight. It was a Matt Serra, Ray Longo fighter. I think he's via Long Island. From, I don't know what country. I want to say like Poland or something, but maybe not. Tiny guy. Tiny. I think like 135. Is that the smallest? Maybe less. But anyway, he was winning the whole fight, then shot for a takedown, but the other guy got him in a guillotine. But he like kind of broke free, and then the guy only had like the one arm Von Flute guillotine.
Von Flute choke?
Yeah. And so then he turned it over, like he, and it looked like he was out for a second, but he wasn't out. And yeah. And he gave a thumbs up, and it was ticking down from like, I think 30 seconds. But it then started to look like he was out, but then he started like kicking his legs like a bicycle the whole time. And they're like, the announcer's like, this is bizarre. And I don't know if it was to prevent himself from going out or just to show that he was okay.
Something tells me it's to show. Or he's just trying to wiggle free. I don't know.
So then the fight ends and he survives, but he immediately like goes to the ground. And but the doctor almost looked like they told him to go to the ground, but he did look like fucked, like groggy.
Yeah.
And then they overruled it and said he was out. But he was up when it was over.
Did he?
Did he protest? I don't.
I'm assuming.
I don't.
Or was
know.
He like, I'm fucked?
No.
Was he exhausted?
No, he was standing on his feet after all this. But the ref.
Oh, so they think he was out? And yeah.
It was the ref outside. It was the ref.
Mazzagatti?
No, it was the ref outside the cage who did all this. The guy Mark Goddard. He's an English accent.
Oh yeah.
And he was like, and he explained himself.
Bald
so
guy.
He's like, he no, he's there.
Or is it the guy with?
You're thinking of Yves Levine.
He's the guy that looks like Bisping.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
And he talks like, but yeah, he claimed he's. And I was like, I've never seen that. And then also another one is the headlining fight. Was Edson Barboza versus this guy Kevin Lee, who's really good. He's 25.
Barboza, man, he's just gone down.
Dude, but Barboza was losing bad because this guy Kevin Lee fights a very similar style to Habib. He actually wants to fight him. 25.
Yeah, because Barboza's a Muay Thai champion.
But Barboza hit, was losing bad, getting beat the shit out of.
Yeah.
But he hits him with a spinning fucking heel hook, and the guy's legs went so rubbery. Like, I don't even know how he stayed up, but he's a wrestler, so he shot, and then he saved himself. Barboza's getting whipped the whole fight, and then he had a cut on his, I think either on his eyebrow or right below it, and they called the fight, which is very rare. And it was bizarre. Like, he looked fine. Like, it was just like,
yeah, but Barboza was getting his ass kicked.
He was, but it just seemed odd.
Wasn't it the fifth round?
Yeah.
Which seemed odd.
Was... Why not just let it, like, the doctor's like, no, it's over.
Yeah, I think they're probably like, dude, he's not going to win.
He did.
He's totally
him,
fucked.
So look out for that guy, Kevin Lee. I think he's...
I mean, he headlined that fight night.
He didn't make weight, which he lost 20% of his money. But they said, they're like, after like Kenny Florian and some of those guys were like, I think he might be the future of that division.
For me, the benefit would be like, stay at your weight and have all the gas in the world. Be a smaller guy.
That's what Donnie Cerrone's doing.
Be a smaller guy. That's what if Uriah Faber did it. With a lot of success.
Yeah,
it's a lot
weird.
Of guys
it's to the two schools. Some guys are like, I want to cut as much as I can. And some guys are like, I want to fight close to my natural weight as I can to be fresh.
We do the Fedor, who was not a heavyweight, who would have easily dominated light heavyweight if he just shaved off like 15 pounds. But no, he's like, I'm 230 and I like to fucking eat, so fuck it.
There was a heavyweight fight on that card last night. This guy, Derek Lewis, who cuts to get to 265, but it's pure dough.
Dude, he's dough.
he moved very fucking quick. He was a former D1 college defensive lineman.
He either gets knocked out or knocks the fuck out.
Fifth round, he was gassed.
I'm surprised he made a fifth round.
He was gassed.
Was David Branch on that?
He was. Beat the fuck out of a guy.
He's good, but the problem is he'll get beat by like the top three guys.
But he
beats everybody else.
That's Cub Swanson's problem. He fought Frankie Edgar. He can get to the top, and then he can't beat the best of the best.
Dude, those guys got to stop because they're both. Frankie Edgar's like, I want another title shot. He's
about to hit 38, and
they might give Swanson, they might give it to Frankie because he's only lost to the guy who's fighting for the belt.
But still, he's not going to win. But second, Cub Swanson's fought, like, I'll be back, and I was like, dude, you've been in so many wars.
Frankie fought 49 days after getting brutally knocked out.
I know,
and he's like, I need to erase. I was like, fuck,
dude,
man.
It is going. They should not have let him fight. You think his brain's healed?
No,
fuck no.
Well, they show like his sons, like it's in New Jersey, so they show his kid, you know, like, ugh.
Dude, it's sad because he's been in some, remember, I think the most damage he took was in that Gray Maynard fight where he was out on his feet in the first round and he held it together and then he went on to whip him for four more rounds.
By the way, there is a ref in the UFC who needs to be made into a star. I don't know if he was a local New Jersey guy. This guy looked like a legit little person.
What?
I don't know how tall he is. If you were watching the fights last night.
You say he's like 5 feet?
Dude, this guy looks like Patton Oswalt. If he got like insanely jacked, he's tiny. So this guy's tiny, but like.
How's he breaking people apart?
Dude, there was one fight, and that's what made me think of it. So remember Jim Miller, who like, you, that's weird now because you see these guys that used to be good, and he's like on the tail
his
end.
Times, yeah. Just old. He was amazing.
Oh,
too. I just looked up his record. He's four losses in a row now. But if you look at it, it's all green because he was just whipping
well,
everybody.
That Andy has, I want to say like close to most time or most fights like since Bisbee. Yeah, like he's a lot. So he got kneed fucking brutally and he was out. But the little person ref's legs were so short, he couldn't get there in time. The guy drilled him with a punch.
Oh,
that
really?
Didn't need to come because the guy couldn't get there. In another fight, his little legs couldn't get him there. He tripped over the fallen guy who lost head because he couldn't. His arms weren't long enough to push the guy.
Dude, how tall do you think this guy is realistically? Dan Anik size?
5'4". Dude, he's, I don't.
You know what? You know what they should do is give him a little razor scooter to ride around the octagon, dude, so he can get there in time.
I want this guy to ref like a Ngannou versus Brock Lesnar.
Imagine if they did that.
He can't get the image. I couldn't stop looking at
Stipe versus
Daniel Cormier.
Yeah, Cormier.
I wanted a camera.
Or like a Gustafson versus Jones.
I wanted a camera just on this man alone. I was like, I need more of this guy on my screen. He was
tremendous.
Do you
think that this guy does like, he practices sprints and stuff?
He looks like an arm wrestler, a guy who's like turn, like he's jacked.
But do you think
he
practices sprints constantly so he can get over there?
Dude, he whatever he's doing, he needs to do better because he's not getting there.
Damn.
I don't just think he's so small that it took him time to get there. But this guy needs to do more fights. I like what I saw.
Do you know what they need is a smaller cage entrance for him where he goes under it? Like there's still a top on it instead of the whole thing opening?
He may need to fight like do some like children's like people
they need
around,
to actually,
it, around it.
Side. Somebody needs to toss him into the octagon over the fence.
He need,
That's
if
how he,
he
enters.
If he, I don't think he is little person status because for a while I was like maybe he's like
be
Danny
under
DeVito's
five.
Height.
You have to be like 4'10".
Because I was like, is this 11. Guy like see Roloff at the convention?
Like, he's not. If he's 5'4", he's just like kind of just a shorter dude.
I need to find out who this guy is. I really like. I hope he's back.
I have to look him up.
He's tremendous.
I got to look him up.
Dude, Jim Miller took such an unnecessary shot because this guy just, the only reason is this guy couldn't get there. He was
bad.
Down on the ground and the guy fucking, and those are the ones you get concussed on because your head hits the mat.
No, the one you got concussed on was the one you got knocked the fuck out.
Oh, clearly.
The other ones just gives you additional brain damage.
No, but like your head hitting a hard surface is not good.
I mean,
good.
The first, and that's just additional.
No, yeah, the knee to the face.
It's like punching a bruise.
Isn't great. But I need to figure out who this guy is because I need he's to me he's up there with Scotty Maples in terms of excellence.
What if Scotty Maples became an MMA ref?
What if he's related to this guy? So it's like Bob Maples.
I would rather see what was the Chief's name or the fucking
Jamie Knowles.
Yeah, Jamie Knowles would be a great fucking ref.
You guys agree to adhere to the rules? Okay.
Let me see if I can find
Brandon Dassey. I heard is reffing prison fights.
Really?
Yeah.
New series. I looked up short UFC ref.
Okay. Well, you bet his cheek
there's
off.
There's a Sherdog forum dedicated to this man.
Oh, there is.
It says that really short muscle ball referee.
That's what he's known as now.
There he is.
Let me
Look
see
at
the
this
picture.
Guy's picture. Oh, he's in law enforcement.
Let me see the picture.
He's in law enforcement. Oh, this guy is fucking awesome. Oh, his name is Gary Copeland.
Let me see him.
Dude, look at him up there in the top.
And then wait, look, have we seen this guy before?
And then look at him in his law enforcement uniform.
This guy looks like he's from about the 80s, dude. Oh, look how short his arms are. Oh, my God.
This guy is
crazy. Oh, dude, what?
Gary Copeland.
The fuck?
This thing might be out of juice.
Oh. Dude, whoa. He's so tiny.
He's so look up Gary Copeland, UFC
that
referee.
Guy's great. If you want a that treat. Guy is great.
Look at his. It's such a great look he has.
He looks like, so mean. He looks so angry.
Look at his arm.
I know. Like I saw it. It's fucking. There's got to be a real high. He might be 5'2".
But how tall are these two guys with him?
Because those guys are 5'6".
You think he's wearing lifts? They need to put him on more fights.
He's on an Apple box right now.
They say he's a former cop in Ohio.
Oh, man.
Dude, he's great. Fucking Gary. Well,
hopefully we see more of him.
Yeah, I need more of this guy in my life.
He's going to be the new Big John McCarthy. He's going to be little, what's his name?
Little Gary.
What's his full
little
name?
Little Gary Copeland.
Little Gary Copeland, and there's Big John McCarthy. This has been Little Gary Copeland.
Sounds almost like Gary Coleman, which makes him even better.
That's a tough one to say.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Feel free to subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating and
check out that Patreon.
Check out that Patreon. And,
before you do anything else, check out that Patreon.
Sure. And have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time. If you've been to the minute clinic, but you still ain't healed.